right. Looks like it's 6 o'clock to me. I call the Monday, September 10th, 2012, Taney County Planning Commission meeting to order. If you'd like to establish a quorum, sir.
Okay. Dave Stewart.
Ready.
Rick Caudill. Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Rick Therese.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
And Ronnie Melton.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Okay. Explanation of the meeting procedures?
Okay. Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 application which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. At this time, I would like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all the cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site, followed by any questions for staff. If you do wish to comment at this public hearing, there's a sign-in sheet right up here in the front that's been provided. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, please come to the podium and address the Planning Commission. Yeah. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. The public hearing shall be closed upon the conclusion of public comment. The regular meeting will be held 1 week from tonight's meeting, and at that time the projects will be reviewed and voted upon by the Planning Commission. The regular meeting is a public meeting. However, no additional public comments will be taken unless expressly requested by the Planning Commission. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And just to reiterate, if anybody's out there, this is a public hearing tonight, so we're here to listen to you all tonight. But you do have to sign up on that if you want to speak. Otherwise, you won't be called on to speak and won't be a... Okay, so everybody's good? Okay, very good. Okay, our first item up tonight is the Branson Landing Zip Line. Is that right?
Okay.
Okay, and we've got a representative here. I see Chris back there, so... Okay.
Okay, yeah, this is case number 2012-14. The project is the Branson Landing Zip Line. The applicant is Daryl Henley with the Branson Echo View LLC. The representative is Chris Lucci. The location of the subject property is located at 117 East Lake Street, Branson, Missouri, in the Scott Township, Section 33, Township 23, Range 21. The applicant, Daryl Henley, or Branson Echo View LLC, is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit to allow for the development of a zip line attraction. And this is an aerial photo of the properties in question. One parcel is basically here, with the second parcel being here. The background on this, the county's portion of the zip line attraction has been proposed with an area of two contiguous parcels of land within the Mount Branson subdivision. The easternmost parcel of land is currently owned by the Branson Chamber of Commerce, and the westernmost parcel of land is currently owned by Georgia Marsha Schism. The representative has indicated that a lease agreement has been signed with the Branson Chamber of Commerce allowing for the utilization of this tract of land for a zip line attraction contingent upon approval of this proposal by the Taney County Planning Commission. The parcel of land has been owned by the chamber since 1948. And has been the site of the annual adoration nativity scene basically since that time. It's an approximately 1.18 acre tract of land, and it's described as lots 82 through 87 of the Mount Branson subdivision. The representative has further indicated that they will be purchasing the tract of land currently owned by the Schisms. And that's an approximately 1.23 acre tract of land that runs along the bluff line here. The general description of this, the representative has indicated that the proposed zip line attraction will consist of three basic components: a chairlift ride across Lake Taneycomo, originating from the Branson Landing, a landing and observation deck along the eastern shore bluff, and then a zip line ride back to the Branson Landing. Basically, the way they've described this is a customer would have the ability to depart back to the Branson Landing either via the chairlift ride or the zip line. The representative has stated that a proposed deck structure will be constructed within the Branson Landing next to what was formerly the Macaroni Grill restaurant, with a second proposed landing and observation deck structure being built atop the bluff north of the Candlestick Inn. The representative has indicated that no supports or structures will be placed within the flow line of Lake Taneycomo. The representative has also indicated that the zipline attraction, like I said, will originate and terminate at the Branson Landing. Tickets would be sold at a kiosk in the town square, and basically all of the customer parking is to be provided at the Branson Landing. Customers will have the opportunity to view the Lake Taneycomo and Branson Landing areas, and then will basically only be allowed to leave the observation deck by riding back to the landing, unless there would happen to be an emergency situation. In the event of an emergency, customers could be offloaded directly from the observation deck and shuttled back to the Branson Landing. The site will also continue to serve as the home of the annual Adoration Nativity scene, as specified in the lease agreement. The representative, it's my understanding that basically the nativity scene will be moved a short distance to the north and east, but on the same parcel of land. And this is a site plan that's been provided by the applicant, showing the approximate location of the zipline deck. The closest house would be approximately 320 feet here, they've also provided a series of aerial photography of drawings to kind of show what this would appear like from different views. And this would be from the Candlestick. And we've also, as stated above, the proposed zipline attraction will both originate and terminate at the Branson Landing, with the customer parking being provided at the landing. However, the representative has indicated that a small employee parking area will be provided for the two employees who will be working on the observation deck. Therefore, the staff's recommending that basically there's the parking in our code books by use, but there's not really a use specific to something like this, and so we felt the fairest approach was to look at it as basically one space being required for each employee, because they're really... won't be any customer parking on our side.
We can do that within our guidelines, and they won't have to go to the Board of Adjustment to change anything. I mean, we're not superseding our guidelines.
I really don't feel like, because we don't have a specific use that,
that's your
that applies
call.
To
I'm
a zip line.
Okay, I just I'm just making sure.
But the applicant's proposing to utilize the existing entrance off of East Lake Street as the employee and emergency entrance to the observation deck. And the staff is really recommending that the entrance be improved. There is an existing entrance there, but it's basically kind of a gravel or entrance there. The representative has indicated that the company is in the process of obtaining the necessary approvals and easements regarding both the crossing of Lake Taneycomo and also Lake Shore Drive. The representative has also indicated that the observation deck would include a restroom facility, and of course the restroom facility would be required to be served by the Taney County Regional Sewer District and also the Taney County Water District number 2. It's my understanding that the representative has indicated that the zip line will create a number of year-round and part-time jobs. And the jobs would also be created via the planning, design, and construction of the project. The adjoining property immediately to the north and east is residential. The adjoining property to the south is commercial, the Candlestick Inn. And the adjoining property to the west is basically Lakeshore Drive and then Lake Taneycomo. As shown on the drawing, the closest residence, I had said approximately 300 feet, I think, their drawing actually indicates it's like about 320, I believe. from the landing and observation deck. And the staff recommends that a 6-foot-tall opaque privacy fence be provided between the properties in question and the couple of residences to the north. The planning director of the city of Branson has indicated that there won't be a requirement for a public hearing process concerning the zoning within the Branson Landing because basically it was approved as a planned unit development, and so that planned unit development would allow for this type of use. The applicant will essentially have to seek building permits to construct this on the Branson side. The project received a total score of -3 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 61. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, stormwater drainage, use compatibility, and utilities. And this is basically, from my understanding, pretty close to the location of the observation deck. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, compliance letters from the fire, sewer, and water districts, and also the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Empire Electric Cooperative, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, compliance letters from both the City of Branson and the City of Hollister. Fourth, a copy of the signed lease agreement shall be provided to the Planning Department. Fifth, recorded copies of the easements regarding both the crossing of Lake Taney Como and Lakeshore Drive shall be provided to the Planning Department. Sixth, the 6-foot-tall opaque privacy fence shall be provided between the properties in question and the residences to the north. Seventh, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Eight, all light sources within the facility shall be arranged so that no direct illumination leaves the site toward adjacent residential areas or roadways. Ninth, the decision is subject to all existing easements. Tenth, the Branson Landing zip line shall operate no later than 10:30 p.m. And 11, the existing driveway off of East Lake Street shall be improved and hard surfaced with asphalt, chip and seal, or concrete.
Did you say 10:30 or 12:30?
12:30 and. That may be something we just had a very brief conversation about.
Okay,
that.
I thought I heard you say 10:30, but you said 12:30. Okay.
Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. Prior to the issuance of a Division 2 certificate of conformance, the developer shall first obtain a certificate of occupancy from the City of Branson for the portion of the project within municipal jurisdiction. And last, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. And we took just a couple of pretty brief videos. Of the site here. And just did a quick 360 from the road as you first come into the property here. And this is more looking from the area of the zip line. This would be approximately where the other end of the zip line would come out. This would be the other landing deck.
Okay.
And the property line goes to about this stake here, from my understanding. And part of this is a portion of that existing nativity scene. But where I'm standing would essentially be the area where the landing deck would be, really close, maybe just below it, kind of in this area. And that should be... Okay.
If you could go back to that conditions page, the first page, not the second. Just a couple of things to clarify there.
Sorry.
It's okay. On number two, just it's for a matter of it's Empire District Electric.
Okay.
Not Empire Electric Cooperative.
Okay.
That one I know.
Yeah.
And so, and we need to, you know, stay there. And we need to clarify number 10 because I don't think their intent is to be done at noon 30. You've got.
Oh, okay. Oops. let me okay. Zoom out of this. Sorry. Okay. Oh. Let's
see. Right, you were there.
Yeah, I just thought I'd change it.
While
we're here.
But while we've got Chris up here, we can ask. Okay. Because number 10, that would be 30 minutes after noon, and I'm pretty sure that's not what their intent is.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that's a typo. At least with the Branson Landing requires us to be open. Hours that they're open,
right?
And so, I mean, if they're having a special event or something, they want us to be open.
So that's supposed to be 12:30 a.m.
Or,
I mean, that's the obviously
no
this is a summary for us, but
yeah,
I mean, right. This is a summary for us, and we will kind of go off of that. But if it is approved, but that helps at least to get that stuff fixed.
Oh, exactly.
So first up, we've got a couple folks to sign, but generally, how we do this. We have the representative speak first, and that way it may answer some questions that some folks have out there, and then we'll have them speak, and then we'll have you come back up in case there's any questions that you might be able to clarify.
Sure.
So if you want to go over some stuff, Chris?
Sure. And Bob did a great job of describing the project. There's a few slides you might go through briefly, Bob, and I'll maybe make a brief comment on.
Okay.
That I think you zipped through there. We've got some slides that we provided that kind of give you the view that shows you the fact that deck is parallel with the spot at the Branson Landing, or perpendicular, I should say.
Okay.
And it kind of gives you that aerial view. Go ahead. It kind of gives you a view looking to the north. It shows you the incline, shows you there's quite a bit of distance between the houses to the north. And not only is there a lot of distance, but there's a lot of trees, and I mean, there's a natural barrier and privacy barrier there that's just built in. Not only are there trees between us and the houses, but the bluff actually makes a little jog, it comes to the west and then back, and so it really provides a natural barrier there as well. That kind of shows you the view that little bluff area where the trees are on that point. And the circle is if you were standing at the point there and looking to the south, that's what you would see. So that's the barrier that's just naturally along that bluff. This kind of shows you the elevation difference between our plans for the deck and the Candlestick Inn, since the Candlestick's been there so long, everyone kind of knows that and can visualize that. As you can see, we're down a little lower on the bluff than they are, which also provides a barrier. I mean, if someone driving from the street up there could hardly see the deck, we think that from the homes to the north that you won't even be able to see the deck.
Is it basically where the bluff is on that top part of that deck? Is that going to be more or less even? You're not building steps down to it.
No, there
right?
would so, actually be from the road across there. There actually would be steps down to it.
Okay, so it's going to be below that
below that graded area there.
Okay.
Yes. That shows from the Candlestick side. You can't really see the deck either. I mean, you can see the line, but because it's down below and there's so many trees, it's hidden. Just another view from the Candlestick side. But this is kind of a look from the landing side. The top left picture that's meant to be the Macaroni Grill on the left. The right side would be the barbecue, Famous Days Barbecue. So it's that aisle right there. There's been a little building next to Macaroni Grill that's been like an outdoor bar or outdoor something that's not really ever been used. So that would be an area that people could buy tickets. We'll also have a kiosk in the Branson main part of the center there of the landing, and then we'll extend the deck on that side from that point that you see out towards the little outer road there. Now, this bottom right is just kind of a conceptual plan. You can see the deck across the lake there.
And I think that's all we've got here.
Yeah, that's all. I wanted to give you a visual of what we're planning and what it would look like. I mean, this is a really simple project. I like to stress the parking's on the Branson Landing side. All the people get on and off at the Branson Landing side other than an emergency. It doesn't make noise. I mean, it's a Echo View attraction, and so we think it'll draw some new visitors to Branson, create quite a few jobs. Most of the people will be working on the other side of the lake on the Branson Landing side, but good project that people will like. They'll be able to see the landing, see the lake, observe it, and have fun doing it at the same time.
Okay. I've got a question for you that came up. Our folks from Empire actually.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do to mark that line for helicopters or planes? As you know, every once in a while a float plane lands there.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we have to mark our power lines. What are your plans?
There's an additional line besides the line that you zip line that you actually zip line on.
Okay, it's hard to see on that. But yeah. So there is an additional line that has the. Whatever on there that marks
whatever's required on
so,
that.
So that's already in your plans to do.
Sure. We knew we would have to mark that. We didn't know exactly what the requirement will be for that. But, mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Just if you'd have a seat there close. And
yeah, okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
You said there's no sound involved with the actual zip line, but is there going to be soothing music or something playing on the east side of the lake there at the landing?
Well, that's a good idea. We haven't really talked about that don't have that presently in our plans, but we probably should have something there, soft music just for it. It's a themed ride, so yes, I would say there would be.
The reason I was asking that is because of disturbing the neighbors.
Yeah, no rock and roll concerts over there, but maybe a little background theme type music.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else right now? Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Okay.
Next up, Josh Smith.
Hi, gentlemen. I represent several of the residents on Mount Branson, and I guess their main concern is what's it going to do to their property as far as property values. Also, their other main concern that we talked about was basically the view of the bluff. They've worked hard to preserve that for a long time, and to see this come in and be put up down there, they've worked with Candlestick Inn over the years to maintain their area, to make it fit in. And they feel that this commercial operation going in down the side of the bluff kind of destroys the view and the, the natural setting of the bluff into a more commercial setting. And that kind of concerned them. One concern that I had was a traffic distraction. I haven't heard that brought up yet, but there's quite a bit of travel on Lakeshore Drive. There's travel on E-76, my concern is just a traffic distraction. People looking over there, gawking, talking about stuff. What kind of accidents are we going to start having in that area as people look over there and oh, look, there goes, somebody flying across the water. And so those are some current concerns that the people that I represent had. They are not all well-spoken speakers, so they asked me to come tonight and speak on their behalf. And I just ask you guys to seriously consider, do we want a commercial operation on the side of a bluff? You know, there's rocks constantly falling from the bluff down on East 76. The state, my uncle works for the state, and they continue to have problems down there shoring up that bluff. And I know they have the same have had the same problem in the past on Lakeshore. So my concern is when they start putting these big poles up down there, what kind of rocks are we going to have start falling down the side of the bluff? And, you know, there's probably some weakness there over the years already, and what's this going to do to it? So those are my concerns, gentlemen.
Okay.
Any questions? Anybody? Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Next up on the list, and Betty, or Bet, I can't read the last name, I'm sorry.
Tom O'Leary.
Tom O'Leary? Okay, very good.
I am the owner of the property just south of Candlestick Inn. It's the Parnell House, the only house that I know of in the area that's on the National Historic Register. I have a lot of the same concerns as the gentleman that represented other people up on the bluff. Number one, just according to codes, the land use is incompatible with the predominantly residential area that it's in. Number two, we're very concerned about it setting a dangerous precedent. You know, what goes next, go-karts or whatever that's entertainment once people get over there. Very, very concerned about the noise level. Having the experience with Branson Landing, and I always want to call it Garbo's, but what is it? Garfield's, right across from us. They have music at night, and frequently have to call the manager and say, I know people are having fun, but, you know, we'd like to go to sleep. And the manager's always been very nice. They cut the music way down so that it's not obnoxious. Besides that, I don't know if any of you have been to zip lines and heard the screams. I mean, people get scared going across, and that's what they pay for. They like to be scared, but I don't necessarily want to be hearing screams at any time, but especially talking about into 12:30 a.m. in the morning. I think that that is a ridiculous time to be in operation in a residential area. So I would definitely like, if this thing is approved, to do something with the time. Another big concern that Mr. Smith expressed is property values. I don't know anybody who would want to live next to a zip line. Also from the code, the visual impact is incongruous with the area, you know, when compared to the neighboring structures. Now, I didn't hear anything said about is blasting going to be done on that bluff in order to set up those poles? Mr. Smith, again, is very right. There's rocks falling down all the time. Our historic house literally is floored by the rock of the bluff. If you go into one of the rooms of the house, it's the rock of the bluff. Any kind of major blasting around there would have a huge impact on a house that's been considered worthy of being on the National Register. I saw where the observation deck is. I guess, does the zip line go right off of there? I have that question.
We'll ask some of these questions of them.
And I guess there's going to be three lines now. The zip line going down, the chairlift coming up. Do they both go to the observation deck, or are they both coming and going
we'll ask those questions
off the same deck? And please ask about the about the blasting. Those are my main concerns.
Okay.
And I'm with him on, I think that probably the people on the other side that bought those condos for $300,000 and $400,000, I don't think they were notified. And I'm just wondering, you know, they love the look of the bluff, and that's how it was advertised, you know, the beautiful views of the Ozarks and so forth. And I think that that is really going to be an aesthetic eyesore.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All we have were two to speak, Chris. So it sounds like we've got some questions that maybe you or Oh, okay. Well, we had everybody sign up, ma'am. You must have came in late.
I went to the wrong building.
We'll let you speak.
Thank you.
What's your name?
Jackie Dresser.
Okay, Jackie.
I'm the 300-foot lady that lives from...
The 300-foot lady.
The 300-foot lady okay. That lives next to what will be...
Okay, well, go right ahead.
Of course, all my concerns are the same as already been spoken, but those pictures were taken before the tornado. Those trees aren't there. They're gone. And I think the tornado scarred that piece of property and my house and my neighbor's house all the way down the line enough. I don't think we need any more scarring on that bluff. I'm also speaking, if anyone cared, June, I'll spell her last name, S-O-K-O-L-I-C. She lives just across the road from me and is looking right at Candlestick. She told me to speak for her. She's in her late 80s, and she couldn't make it. So that is another person on the bluff. And I agree with the screams. The way my deck goes off the back of my house, I will be sitting on my deck at 10:30 or 11 at night listening to people scream going down a zip line. And I know they scream. I've been to them. And all I wanted to tell you was that if you all want a zip line by your house, then put it by your house. But I don't think we want it up on that bluff. And I thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. We didn't miss anybody else that came in afterwards, did we? Okay. Very good. I think we had some questions if you want to come on up. I wrote a lot of them down. I don't know if you already got them or if you just want me to ask them.
Sure. Go ahead.
One of the first ones, construction type, what are you going to do? How are you going to, if you know, how are you going to, or I know you've got some other representatives here, so the bluff integrity, basically.
Sure. Well, we've not done all the design of this yet, so I can't answer that definitively, but we very much think this can all be done with drilling and no blasting would be necessary. I mean, it's an observation deck. We're not building a giant structure. So we've done drilling for the support poles for the zip line, and that was everything was fine there, that we can drill everything we need to support the zip line, and no blasting for that. We've not actually drilled test holes yet for the observation deck. But I can say that my experience in construction tells me that it was a extremely slim chance we can would not be able to do this by drilling.
Okay. Yeah. Where are you going to drill it from if you drill? I mean, top or bottom?
I would say, okay. I mean, we're talking about a deck, just like the decks on every one of those houses. So it shouldn't be any more difficult for us to build a deck there than it is for them to build a deck. Obviously, we're going to have this our decks engineered, and we'll make sure that everything's like to the same code that we're building to down below. But our actual, the poles for the zip line itself, they're up above where the deck is.
Okay.
We've already soil tested those. We're just going to drill for them, so there's like no blasting at all for that. And I can't imagine blasting for decks unless some of the neighbors had to blast for building their decks on their house.
Okay, so the poles that hold the actual lines are separate from the deck, and you're kind of building
yes.
the deck around
Correct.
That support
actually
system.
Actually, underneath that system. The pole, you see the lines go past the
right.
deck there. So the poles and,
oh, I see.
And
yep.
those poles will have much more tension than anything that would be on the deck. We've already had Palmerton and Parrish drill test holes for that location, and everything's fine there for us to drill.
Will there be anchors off of those poles, I'm guessing?
There will
yes.
be.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those will be on the Chambers property.
Yeah. Okay.
So the deck would all be on the property that currently belongs to the Chisholms, which is right below the deck. The elevation of that deck is down below what we were looking at with the roadway. So,
okay. Any other questions from the commission regarding construction? I'll get to you on the other stuff. Okay. can't read my own writing. I apologize. Not noise level. As far as we had, you know, there was concern about noise level,
sure.
And a good concern, you know, as sure. far as not just music and that type of stuff, but also screams. And I get that. There's no doubt. I mean, that's why people write them.
These were all good comments. And, you know, I understand these comments. And these are people that live there. And good comments, good concerns. But I think they're from people that don't truly understand our ride and what we're doing because the noise level 300 feet from where we are will be so minimal. I mean, you have the people that are having fun on the Candlestick deck. And, I mean, our noise level will be no more than, I mean, someone on the Candlestick deck that's having a party and you know, screams out or yells out or sings happy birthday or whatever might be going on with the gathering of people out there having fun. I mean, it's the same thing. So can someone say Yahoo as they come off that ride? Absolutely, that's going to happen. But, I mean, how far will someone having a little fun coming off that deck 300 feet away, you know, how much problem is that?
Okay.
I can't think of that. Yeah, go ahead, Darren.
In fact, when we went up and took those pictures, which those pictures are from last week, when we were standing right there where that spot is, where that picture is taken from, I was standing down where the deck was. And so when that picture was taken, I was yelling to the person, and they couldn't hear me. And so it was like, hey, yelling at the top of my lungs, trying to get their attention, and they couldn't hear me. And so I had to walk all the way around to them to get their attention and tell them. So will there be people sometimes yelling? Probably. But that whole hillside is covered in vegetation. It goes out past. So where the house is, where this deck is, there's a piece of that bluff that comes out past it. When I stood there and yelled for the person, they couldn't hear me.
The only vegetation removal that you foresee doing is right where the deck is built.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Correct.
And everything else, even though it's part of the property that you're requesting, because we asked some of these last during the concept, so we none of the rest of that, there's nothing planned for the rest of that property.
That's correct.
I think
the only request is for that observation deck, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Any questions from the commission on noise level?
What about the hours of operation?
That's where I was going next, because that's one of the big concerns is with the noise level is when it does get into times which are reasonably expected quiet times,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that, so a lot of people, that's after 10 o'clock. And so,
how late's your one on 65 open?
Till midnight.
And the situation we're in with the Branson Landing is, if you've ever seen one of their leases, they're made by attorneys in Chicago and they're this thick. And they require us to be open while they're open, and that includes...
We may not necessarily need to follow, but we may or may not follow those leases.
I understand that.
On our end here at the county.
With that, the lease requires us to do it. If we're not, there's a penalty in place in the lease, and it's a huge penalty to where if we can't be open when the landing's open, we won't be able to do the project.
Okay.
I mean, that's...
I understand that. That's, and, you know, that is good to know, but we also have to look at the other side of that, and
exactly.
That's really up to all these folks on what they decide to do. But
sure.
From that, so... any other questions on time
one.
Stuff?
No, I had one. I missed one.
I'll get to you, I promise. I just want to make sure I get all these that these folks ask. There's one more, and I honestly can't read it. I apologize. Observation deck...
Property values was brought up a couple of times.
Oh, the deck lines. I think what I meant to write there was, you know, somebody was talking about view and that type of stuff, and we understand, because we get that a lot, being because we do live in a place with beautiful views, and nobody owns the view. So we understand that, but also if we can take a look at that and see. From what I understand and from the questions we asked during concept, it's basically at grade. And so I wanted to make sure and clarify that there really wasn't a whole lot above grade at the...
No, there's not. I mean,
at the observation deck level.
No, there's a pole in the ground that, you know, that supports these lines that I don't think you'd be able to see. From, you know,
right.
I don't know. We have not engineered it yet. A 6-inch, 8-inch, 10-inch, you know, I'm not sure how the diameter of the pole.
Sure.
But, and then the lines themselves, we've drawn them in so for an illustration, but I suspect from those homes, you wouldn't, with my vision, you wouldn't be able to see that line.
Because that was one of the concerns, you know, you guys remember last time that we had, was how high that was going to be above the bluff line. And from what I understand, it's really not above the bluff line, other than the poles that hold the...
We're keeping it below the nativity scene.
Right.
You know, because of, we want to ensure that we don't interfere with the nativity scene.
Okay. That's all that I think I had from the folks. So, what did you have? I'll get to you.
I forgot.
You forgot. Okay, I'll let you think about it a minute. Because he'll forget.
The lady back here in the white shirt said during the tornado, all these trees was gone.
Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah, I think she must be talking about different trees than this illustration. You know, obviously she knows if she lost some trees, and I'm not challenging that she didn't lose some trees. This picture was just taken a couple of weeks ago after the tornado. Actually, last week. So, you know, that particular picture, those trees are there. I know that. Now, maybe it's closer to her house and trees were down or something. But
yeah, I'm certain there were some things that were,
were
gone. But what you're saying is that was taken a couple weeks
damage
ago.
Hers probably did.
And I, as commissioners, we'll have the, opportunity to go up there personally and take a look at that. I mean, that's part of what we need to do this week. If you get the opportunity, is to go over there and take a look at that yourself. That's the best thing to do.
They had a picture up
there. Her hand
there. I know, but...
Okay. Mom had a picture up there while I was showing those houses, north end of that. Can you get that back up on the screen?
Do you want the video or the...
Yeah, the video. Well,
that
picture there.
I mean, this is just showing a couple of... I've taken some different photos of the site.
I think you had a shot from the observation deck side looking back towards this, towards Miss Dresser's home. I thought you did. I've been up there this week myself in regards with the
nativity scene.
So I've been up there a few times myself this week, so I've got to see it.
How deep is your hole going to be for your pole for the line and the deck? Do you know yet?
We don't know yet.
How big around?
He said he didn't know yet.
Not for sure.
How deep?
Yeah. Probably 10, 12.
No, he said he didn't know how big around the poles were going to be.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you have the actual net deck, opposite your deck you're coming to? Do you have it laid out on the property?
No.
Uniform?
No.
That would probably
actually staked out.
There, it would be nice. Yeah, staked out. Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'd be able to see it because it's a
drop off line
and it's just right, it's solid trees. So
he had a picture of the houses while ago
over the base of the deck where the poles come up.
The road's there, and then I mean it's really below.
It's below the road where it would be. So
I thought it was a picture. Maybe it was the video.
That's what I wondered too.
So the flush above the rock. It's going to be below
that level.
Railing and all, it's going to be below that.
Yes.
The best thing I can suggest with that is for you all to go over there and take a look at it yourself.
Yeah.
That's the best thing to do.
If you walk that little road, that picture Bob just had up,
one of those photos?
Yeah, one of those photos.
You want you to go over and paint something to show exactly where that's...
We can. Okay, stop right there.
Okay.
The we just have a little pointer up here still.
There's a yellow one right there.
Here's
see the tree in the background got
hit. Oh yeah, it was. I mean, there's no doubt they had some damage up there.
The Chambers property line runs along this right here, and then as you get to about this point, it juts out, and there's a little section right in here that is where the deck's going to go. So if we could mark the corners for you, but you're going to have to walk over this bluff line. Down this hill, and it's pretty steep to see that. It's in those trees right there. So the poles for the structural support of the lines themselves would go like right in here. And then you'd be down here, over that, down another, I don't know, 6, 8 feet, 10.
Most of us here is hillbillies, so that won't be a problem.
Yeah, so you'd be down like where this tree is at the base of it.
And here's the back of the candlestick.
Yeah, you're not. Proudly.
Yeah. You know, here's the back of the candlestick here. So, the holes for the termination area right there, they're drilled. You can see those.
Yeah, they're
staked
like right
and drilled.
In here.
Okay.
That's the foliage there on the timber on the lower side there where you got your light. What do you think's the height of that timber? That's more of a small brush in it than any big timber there. Right?
Probably if you're out, Eddie might be able to help us with that. His guys have surveyed that. Out 10 feet, you're probably down.
It's probably worth maybe 15 foot tall.
That tree right there, yeah.
I mean, you know, or something taller, something
okay. Other questions?
I'd like to ask this lady something.
Yes, sir.
If I come to your house, if I come to your house Monday, can I come and look from your point to that?
You can come in my house and
I don't want to come in. I just want to see where my PowerPoint is.
You can come and go down.
She's gonna make you coffee.
And see that I can see Jesus, Mary, and Joseph to their feet, to their heads. And if the observation deck is going in front of that, or not to block the view, I will be able to see their observation deck.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm the first house on the block. Just come on down. You're welcome.
The elevation.
And all of you can come and look off my deck down.
Okay.
You're welcome to come.
The elevation's way below the nativity scene. So what she's looking at out from her house, we're down the
yeah, and I think line. I want to, yeah, and that's, of course, that's one of the things that we always want to, I think every, all the commissioners understand that, where the elevation is compared to the yeah. to the grade of the bluff, right? Yeah, okay.
That's quite a bit below the fence.
Quite a bit below. That's, I don't think she's understanding the difference in the elevation.
More or less going to be level with your parking road, the top of your.
This may. Or below. Yeah.
Below that. Below it. Yeah, it'd be below that. It's actually over that bluff line. And so that bluff line will create a natural barrier along with the trees.
It's over the bluff, the 60, top of the bluff, 8 foot, 6 to 8 foot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And I know we asked this, and it actually didn't come up today in the public hearing, but since, just to clarify, there's no customer parking on that side.
No.
All of your customers access it from the landing side
that's
and
correct.
Back.
That's correct.
There is emergency access, from what I understand.
That's correct.
And employee access if needed
if
from
needed.
There. Is that yeah. right?
That's right.
So not like they can't come over there and buy a ticket on your side or anything like that?
No.
On the bluff side.
On the east side, they cannot.
Sean, is that lady's house, the first house you're looking at here on the right? Or was it right there?
Yeah. I think she's saying yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So I would suggest going over and taking a look at that. Jackie Dresser, is that right?
That's correct.
Miss Dresser, okay.
Jackie, can you see the candlestick deck? Where's Jackie?
Yes.
You, from your house, you can see the candlestick
from
deck.
Our decks,
from your deck.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
From my bedroom window, I'm not sure, but I can see Jesus, Mary, and Joseph out there.
Well, and the candlestick deck would be above us as well, quite a bit.
See, I'm below grade too.
Are you?
Because it goes downhill to my house.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, take a look and see, you know, how far you can see down below the candlestick. Because
no.
You're going to have the nativity up here, candlestick, and then us even lower.
Ronnie started it. Okay, very good.
Can
okay.
I make one last little short comment?
You can, because yeah. The main thing, our goal here tonight is to give an understanding to the neighbors as much as possible as to what's going on and to the commissioners so
sure.
we know, so we can make the best decision yeah. possible. So please do.
Understand that. I think you've seen that the biggest concern is probably some noise and some sight line and noise things. I just like to stress I've been in business in this area since the 1980s, and it's about as tough a time as I've ever seen to get a business off the ground. There's not very many people attempting it right now. If you can come up with an idea, you can't get it financed and funded at the bank. I mean, we talk about, you know, taxes and making things happen in the community and economic development. We have people working on that in this community because it is such a tough time. It's a hard time for people to find a job, and unemployment's high and tough. And we have a project here that we think is going to cause about as little disruption as possible with any kind of commercial project. We have it funded. We're ready to move forward with this. It will happen in the matter of a few months if approved, and we get all of the permits that we need. We'll be hiring people, putting people to work, and it's a project that people that live in this area can be proud of and send their friends and family to, and they'll have a good time with it.
How many people are you going to employ?
Well, we're not sure yet, but it'll depend how busy we are, obviously. But, I mean, it'll be 10, 15, probably.
Can I get a comment?
Mm-hmm.
It was my understanding that the Chisholms that own the property currently, along with all the property owners along the bluff that have the residential houses, had entered into some type of agreement together back a few years ago, and they listed that property for sale, each of the houses and the Chisholms property, to sell it for development. And I would understand that since their property, this property runs behind all those houses, it's integral in order to be able to sell them together for development. And I would assume that when they're asking about how it's going to affect their property value, they're probably looking at it somewhat in that way. How's it going to affect the development, future development value of that property? And so since we would own that property still that runs behind all of those homes, we'd still be open to doing something like that. So we're constricting what we're doing to the very furthest south part of this property. And so their concerns about developing that property or selling it to a developer at some point in the future, we'd be interested in being part of that potentially. So we won't stand in the way of that.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission? All right. Very good. Thank you. That closes the hearing for the Branson Landing Zip Line. Next up tonight is Jake's Lake Storage. And I'll just mention it one more time. If anybody wants to speak on Jake's Lake Storage that has not signed up, you need to do so. Okay. We have a representative here. Eddie, are you? Okay.
Okay. This is case number 2012-15. The project is Jake's Lake Shipping Container Storage and Rental. The applicant is Resort Installation Systems Incorporated, Jeff Schaefer. The representative is Eddie Wolf. The location, the subject property is located in the 500 block of Quebec Drive, Branson, Missouri, in the Branson Township, Section 14, Township 22, Range 22. The applicant, Jeff Schaefer of Resort Installation Systems Incorporated, is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit to allow for the development of an outdoor storage area which will utilize shipping containers for storage and rental. The background and site history on this, this is an approximately 4.07 acre site, and it's a portion of Block 22 of Table Rock Acres, known as Jake's Lake. Table Rock Acres was originally platted in 1969, with portions of the subdivision being replatted on a number of occasions. The applicant has described the area as an old pond that had been grown up and filled with trash. Over a period of time, the area has been cleaned up and the pond has been filled. On October 11, 2011, the Planning Commission approved Division 3 Permit 2011-19, which authorized the development of storage facility at Jake's Lake, which was to include 310 storage units within eight buildings, a greenhouse, a proposed office and living quarters for the manager of the storage facility, an outdoor storage area, and also a separate outdoor storage area for landscape materials. The public hearing for this previous application was held on August 8, 2011. At the public hearing, it was determined that per the submitted site plan, an existing 20-foot sewer easement along the northern portion of the property basically wouldn't allow sufficient space for what at that time called out in the code book for either a 25-foot or a 40-foot vegetative buffer. And so basically at that point, the applicant sought a variance through the Board of Adjustment, and of course that's something that we have changed in our code book now,
right,
allowing for the provision of a privacy fence in lieu of vegetative buffering. But basically during the public hearing for Division 3 permit number 2011-19, a neighboring property owner specifically questioned if this proposal would involve the storage of shipping containers, and at that time the applicant's representative indicated that no shipping containers would be moved on site, as reflected in both the Planning Commission public hearing minutes and recording. Basically, upon receiving a series of complaints on May 22nd of this year, The Planning Commission staff sent a notice of correction to Mr. Schaefer concerning the outside storage of a number of shipping containers within the Jakes Lake property. After receiving the initial notice of correction, it appeared to us that additional shipping containers were placed on the property. And on June 18th, a stop work order was sent to the property owner requesting that Mr. Schaefer immediately cease the outdoor storage of shipping containers at Jakes Lake until such time that a Division III permit was obtained allowing for the use. And at this point, the applicant is now seeking a Division III permit in order to allow for the storage and rental of shipping containers at the Jakes Lake facility. As I stated earlier, this original Division III permit does allow for the development of 310 storage units within eight buildings, a greenhouse, a proposed office and living quarters for the manager, and an outdoor storage area, and also a separate outdoor storage area. And at this point, the applicant, Jeff Schaefer of Resort Installation Systems, is now requesting approval of a second Division III permit, which would allow for the development of the previously approved outdoor storage area. And this area would contain shipping containers for storage and rental. We do have a site plan, and basically it indicates that he would have as many as 73 8-foot by 40-foot shipping containers. In order to place the 73 shipping containers on site, the applicant would have to forego two storage buildings, or basically 60 storage units within those two buildings, and the greenhouse is indicated on the revised site plan. And this was the previous site plan, and basically here's the new site plan, and you can see essentially the shipping containers would be stored in this area that was previously approved for the storage units, also the greenhouse, and then an area along the front.
Here's what is that? What does that say on the south side before the shipping containers? Right there, where
okay.
What does that say right there?
Yeah, beforehand, it was indicated as an outdoor storage area.
So that's outdoor storage. Okay.
And basically, they're proposing placing the shipping containers here, and then also in this area.
Do those shipping containers meet all of our setbacks? Right there, look at the ones on the southwest corner. Very southwest corner of the property.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't. I haven't looked at that, to be completely honest with you.
I'll ask the representative.
The adjoining property to the north, east, and west is residential, with vacant Table Rock Acres Lakes adjoining to the south, and it is my understanding that currently Jeff Schaefer owns those lots to the south as well. The applicant has indicated that a 6-foot-tall fence will be provided around the entire property, which will serve to buffer the development from surrounding residential property and also provide security. Due to the addition of impervious surface, a detention basin has been proposed along the eastern section of the property. And it is my understanding that a stormwater management plan has been produced, but we will require that to be submitted to our office. And this is just some shots of the property. One of the questions that had come up in the past was kind of the height difference or elevation difference from the property to some of the adjoining properties. And basically, according to our current GIS, this contour line would be about 860. And these are just 10-foot contours, so then this would be about 870 here. I mean, just to give you an idea. And kind of the same thing here. This is with 5-foot contours, so basically this would be 860, 865, 870. Just to give you.
And is it a slope all the rest of the way down, or does it drop off right there into the bottom?
Oh, okay. It's reasonably flat here. Okay. I mean, there aren't a whole lot of contours here, so.
Okay.
In review, the applicant has, of course, indicated that a 6-foot-tall privacy fence will be provided around the perimeter of the property, and the staff's recommending that the fence be opaque or privacy-type fencing. The applicant's representative has indicated that the shipping containers will be stored specifically within an area shown on the revised site plan. The staff is recommending that should the proposal be approved, the storage of shipping containers be limited specifically to that area enumerated on the site plan as submitted. And the applicant is proposing to construct a 20-foot wide access road, basically with two access points off of Quebec Drive. The project received a total score of negative 16 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 53. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of off-site nuisances, emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, use compatibility, and outdoor equipment storage. And here's just a couple of photos of the current property, and we have a brief video. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for stormwater management. Second, the original Division 3 permit, 2011-19, would be modified, in which the storage facility would now authorize up to 250 storage units within six buildings, a proposed office and living quarters for the manager of the storage facility, and an outdoor storage area containing up to 73 8-foot by 40-foot shipping containers. Third, a compliance letter from the fire district. Fourth, a 6-foot tall opaque privacy fence shall be provided around the entire property. Fifth, the outdoor storage area shall have security fencing and lighting. Sixth, all light sources within the facility shall be arranged so that no direct illumination leaves the site toward adjacent residential areas or any roadways. Seventh, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Eighth, the storage of shipping containers shall be limited specifically to the areas indicated on the Jakes Lake Storage Preliminary Plat submitted as part of this Division 3 permit application. Ninth, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. And 10, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got a couple of pretty brief videos here. This is a video right at the corner of the property, right at the street, and just did a quick 360 here. He has already begun construction of a fence of a gated area. And on this, I just tried to basically go in the center of the facility and give you just a quick 360 of what's there at this point. Sorry, I'd forgotten I walked that.
You didn't make Benita do that, did you? Those little steps would have took a long time to get in
there. Yeah, here's the adjoining residences.
Yeah, that's the houses and neighbors.
We got three or four folks signed up to speak tonight, but we'll have Eddie Wolf come up first. You're the representative for the applicant. Is that right, Eddie?
Yes.
Explain what it is you're doing, and then we'll have the other folks come up and speak, and then any questions we have, we'll have you answer.
Well, the way I understood what Jeff told me is that he's wanting to put these in there, but as he builds the storage units, and where, like, where those buildings there were saying were taken away, that he pulls those storage units out of there, he still wants to build the storage units back there. This is not a permanent type deal that he's wanting to do with the storage units.
Okay.
In other words...
So that, the request that was presented is not necessarily...
Okay.
Well, the way it's presented is not necessarily the way that we intended it to be.
Okay.
Because, like, back here, we had those buildings there. Well, if he put those pods of... if it's allowed to put those pods of trailers there for the storage units, there's nothing in there that's permanent. They're just sitting there. So, I mean, if he moved all of these out, say he built these buildings, and he moved all of these out of there, we still want to be able to build those there and move these out of there and just take them completely off-site. It's not that we're wanting to leave these here permanently. He just wanted to do it temporarily until he develops out the property, which may be a year, might be 5 years, I don't know.
Go back one slide, please.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Wrong one. There you go. So that request there is already approved.
That's correct.
And so what you're asking is to basically...
just put, in other words, what he's...
Add
originally, he told me he wasn't going to put any storage containers out there. Then he moved some in there because he could rent them out. And with the economy, he can make a few bucks off. So that's what he did. And he didn't realize he was in violation. So Bob addressed it then. We all talked, and that's why we're coming back. But what he's wanting to do is to put these containers in there and rent them, you know, not necessarily rent them on site, but he takes them off site and rents them to people. If you drive around Branson, they're on 248. There's a bunch of them sitting there at the rest home right along the highway right now.
So like the pods kind of, or whatever you call them.
And... But that's what he's wanting to do out there. You know, he still intends in the future to build these buildings.
So your request is actually to add to the request of being able to put shipping containers out there, because I think we were pretty specific last time about not doing that.
And go to the one with the containers there, Bob, if you don't care.
I'm sorry.
Like here, see, we've got him set down this proposed road. If he if he builds this facility, these got to be moved because it's in our roadway.
Okay.
In there. And like you just talking about setback right there.
Uh-huh.
These are portable. There's no setback. I mean, they're not on a fixed foundation. You can move them 5 foot that way or this way, whatever you want to do. There's nothing unless it's on a permanent foundation that has to meet.
I mean, if somebody puts a portable building in their house at their residence, do they have to meet setbacks?
Normally, if they had like an RV... Unless that became their permanent residence and they put it on a permanent foundation, we normally wouldn't have them meet a setback for that, for instance.
I mean, just to explain that, you asked that question.
Right.
But...
Yeah, that was something I wanted to know. Of course, at the time, I thought these were going to be permanent.
Yeah. Well, it's my understanding with him is that he still intends to build these buildings. It's just... And the other thing is he has ordered all the material... to build the fence all the way around the whole site. I told him what Jim's wanted was the fence all the way around it. And I haven't been out there in the last week or so, and I don't know how long it's been since you filmed it, but there was already a gate up there, and he intends on building it all the way around because he wants to protect his stuff in there as well as adhere to what Jim's wanted out there.
Well, that is part of our original request.
Right, and that's part of it. The thing, and I want to stress this too, he has not built anything on this to kick in the requirement of the fence or the detention basin to be built because there hadn't been any structures built. There had been no Division IIs been done. So what he's actually violated in what was approved originally was to put those containers there, and that's all. He hasn't violated anything else. But, you know, what... It's my understanding with the decision of record that if you went in there to build one of these buildings, then that fence has got to go in. But the containers weren't part of it, so that does not kick in the fact that he needs to spend $10,000 or $20,000 building a fence. But he's agreed to go ahead, if this is approved, and put it all the way around.
Yeah, I guess that would be a question for our council. On whether or not he didn't violate something we specifically said not to put in there by putting
it in.
That's
correct, he did. But what I'm trying to say is he didn't violate the decision of record by not having the fence in place because none of the objects that was in the decision of record had ever been improved or built.
Yeah, like I said, that'd be a question for council because, you know, it's like saying you can't put a beauty shop there. If you do, you got to put a fence in so somebody puts a beauty shop there. You know, so anyway.
But anyhow, irregardless of that.
Yeah.
That's what we're asking for, is these to be, have the right to put these in here, and then as it's developed, these will come out.
Okay, so you're requesting, if I saw that right, 73.
Yes. That's what we drew in there.
Okay. That we, because we asked reason. For a number. That's yeah. Just so everybody out yeah. there knows, we asked them to give us a specific number. So you're asking for 73 portable storage units of 8x40 size or smaller, I'm guessing.
And they'll right stack there. Pretty well, just the way we got them there. You have to leave a foot or two between them
right.
to hook into them.
Okay.
And he's agreed to paint all of them where they look the same and everything. So that's something he agreed to do. So, you know, you wouldn't have a white one, a red one, a blue one, a green one, or whatever. They'd all right. be a neutral color like beige or something like that.
Okay.
And they'll have a number painted on them. They'll probably be in red or something, you know, where they identify them.
Okay.
They know if it's crate 10 or 20 or what it is.
Okay.
And as far as building roads in there, it's all shot rock. I mean, to move these containers around, you don't need to build any roads. It's all hard rock because it was all put in there shot rock.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
All right.
Unless
we'll
you
get
got
back.
Any questions.
We will, I'm sure.
Okay.
So, okay. Thank you. First up to speak tonight, Judy Sherwood.
Could you put up your thing for 476, please?
Do you want an aerial photo? Or, sorry. You mean one that would show your house, or?
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
I'm 476. My property abuts.
Okay.
We bought this property in 2001. Beautiful area. With the being told by the realtor and other people in the neighborhood that all these years there's supposed to be storage buildings built on this property. Now, this has been 2001 and before. As you can see by what has been on the screen this evening, what it looks like now. They have come in there and taken out all of the shrubs. My property is now eroding because it goes down into the Jakes Lake. In time, my backyard fence for my dogs will be gone because it's going to be eroded away. He took all the shrubs out. We used to sit on the back deck and enjoy the scenery, the whole works. Now we're looking at blue, orange, white pods. We're looking at machinery. He's going to use it for a storage, his stuff as well. Would any of you like to be sitting on your deck looking at this every night? I'm not happy. I am not happy at all. I was just telling them we need to get a purple one in there to go with them orange and blue ones. Now, I'm being smart, but that's what I'm saying. This we got a letter before, and this wasn't what the property was to be used for. So we came over to the commission or to Bob and them over there and talked. Several of us did. He had a stop order. He didn't move. The letter we got said he used to move those. He didn't move them out. They're still right there, and he brought in more. Plus all of the other stuff he brought in. The county had come in and built a nice wide ditch for the water. The water comes off of that mountain hill, whatever you want to call it, across Buttercup Drive and right on through, and they made it so nice with rock and it carried the water very well. It was wide and nice. I've seen the water in there, I don't know, about 2 feet deep, but about a foot deep, because all the mobiles on the other side of me it was almost up to their house. Now he's filled all that in. I mean, it's just gone. So I don't know what's going to happen to the water flow from now on. Okay, that's all I have. I just want to put my 2 cents worth in.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm Judy Sherwood, but I didn't up you. I've signed up. Okay.
Thank you, Judy. Carolyn Holtrup, did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Close enough.
Close enough, okay.
Close enough.
Okay.
I live at 475 Buttercup, across the road from Judy Sherwood. Yes, my property is not close to that, to Jake's Lake, but I look out my front windows on all of this stuff. I have lived on Buttercup Drive before it was Buttercup Drive. I've lived there 26 years. When we bought that property, we were told that Jake's Lake was designated as a wetland. We used to have a pond there with frogs, turtles, fish. A few ducks would fly in every once in a while. It was nice. Now, what have we got? We've got those shipping containers. They're not pretty. I don't enjoy looking at them. I get company and they say, what the H is going on down there? Well, it's supposed to be a storage unit. I was against it from the onset. I don't care if it was neat, if it was pretty. We are a residential area, which would bring more traffic in. Granted, we have the campground there, and we do have more traffic because of the campers. But they're Class A campers. They're not like that crap that's down there. Now, I went down and talked to him. He told me I was trespassing. Yes, but I stood my ground, because I wanted to hear what he had to say. He blew a lot of smoke. And he told me that Taney County put in the sewer lines wrong, the gas lines are wrong, and he wasn't sure whether he was going to put in the greenhouse for his sister, but he could put a park in for the kids to play in. Uh-uh. I wouldn't let my grandkids go down there and play there, because he owns it. I don't trust him. To him, he is the only right one. Everybody else was wrong that did anything in that subdivision. And I don't like the idea. It's not pretty. I don't care what he does to it. I did not want it. And that's about all I've got. Oh, and it's not adding to our property value at all. And I don't think it will if he changes anything. He could paint those containers and rim them with gold. I don't care. They are still shipping containers, come hell or high water. And I don't appreciate it. We don't get away with stuff like that. Would you let someone else come do it? And he violated the first permit, which he did. Would anyone else get away with that? I don't think so. So I don't think he deserves another permit to do anything with that property. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Sparks.
Hi. Thank you for listening. I live at 484 Buttercup, the big house, right along the edge. We bought that house in 1994 when I was pregnant with my first child. It was a pond. It was a beautiful treed area. We were told they were going to put a park. We envisioned ourselves, it's a two-story house. That top part there is a deck. I sit out there drinking my coffee, reading my paper every morning. We pictured watching our kids playing in the park. He, Schaefer, I was pregnant with my daughter. We have that little tiny strip of land. Our property line, we used to think was like 20 feet farther out just because of the way it was graded and it was grass. I asked him specifically, while I was pregnant mowing, would he mind selling us that strip of property so I had a backyard for my kids? He said, if you keep it up and you keep it looking nice, sure, we'll talk about it. That was in like 94, 95. He's reneged on that. My husband and I and all the neighborhood kids would go around. This was before when it was still a pond and pretty. People would chuck their trash bags, their tires. We would go and clean it up at least 3 times a year for him, and he's got stuff that's even crappier in there. I mean, I don't ask for a lot, but that's, you talk about having a view, I've got this much of a backyard and storage containers, and that's what I sit on my deck looking at every day, and it sucks. It really, really sucks. I mean, we watched the water, like they said, when it pours, it's a gully washer, and that's my house, and my bedroom is on the lower level. And I've watched that water come up so high to where I'm thinking, oh, good God, what's going to happen? And like she said, they had a huge trench that has been filled in. He's got all those containers lined up. If it does, where's the water going to go? Our property value, I guarantee you, has gone away. I don't have a backyard anymore. I have a hideous view, and it sounds like it's just going to get worse. That's, you know... We are first-time home buyers. We can't afford to move. Help us keep what used to be a nice area looking nice. And I appreciate you listening. And there's probably more I'd like to say, but I can't think right now.
Thank you.
I appreciate you very much.
Like I said, I've lived.
Ma'am, come.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I know you forgot something, so you come on up. And you're Carolyn, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Like I said, I've lived there 26 years. Before the Sparks bought their home, the Freezes, Jack and Bobby Freeze, used to own it. One year we had rain, and Jake's Lake did run over, and their basement was flooded. And it was lower land, and the pond was there, and it was deep. What's going to happen now to the Sparks property if we get an awful lot of rain? Which can happen. I know we haven't had a lot of rain lately.
We'll address that for you. Actually, I've got that on my list, water detention.
Okay.
And I know we've talked to the representative about that before, so we will address that here in a minute.
Okay. But like I said, if something's not done, their home, their basement's going to flood because I've seen it happen with the previous owners. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I have one more thing.
Okay. Now, this isn't normal, but okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. The last hearing or whatever to where you sent out the cease and desist order, I was on my deck when they came and posted it. He did not have that gate up. He put that gate up after the fact, and he's brought in more heavy equipment after that fact. I mean, he took a pot or two out for a day or two and then brought them right back in, which, I mean, I know he's not adding to it, but he brought in more heavy equipment, and he put the gate up to where he said that he had it blocked off, but he didn't. He lied. Because I went out and took pictures.
We do our best in these situations, and unfortunately, it's not the only situation where we've had folks be out of compliance, and we do everything that we're allowed to do to let them know they're out of compliance, but our bite is not very big sometimes, but we do the best we can. We don't like anybody being out of compliance, okay? It's just we only do what we can do. So just so you know, we will continue to watch that, but we do what we can. We have to have other parts of Taney County help us in that. Okay, Eddie, I think that's all the folks. So we had a couple of things. I don't know if you caught most of those or if you want me to go over what.
Stormwater first.
Okay, that's a good one.
Okay.
Okay.
I think Randy may know that Mr. Shaver in the county replaced this big culvert underneath the road. Mm-hmm. And it did flood prior to that because that culvert wasn't big enough to handle the water. The culvert's big enough to handle the water now. Because they went in there and cost-shared between them to get it taken care of. And that was done several years ago. I don't remember how long it's been, but it's been a while.
It's been before the two flooding years anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that there is not an issue. The ground out there as it sits right now, it's going to absorb just as much water as it did before because it's porous rock. You know, that's not creating any more water than it did before, even though it's rock versus dirt.
Which is always a concern of ours at the planning and zoning level. That's something we always look at.
If this is put impervious cover on it, then a detention basin needs to be in place and to where it can control the extra runoff to where it doesn't cause the flood.
Impervious cover is?
Hard surface.
Like asphalt?
Asphalt, chip and seal, concrete.
Okay, so
rooftops.
Okay.
Anything that's like that.
Okay. Rooftops, very good.
Okay, now, I want these people to understand he still got permission to build the storage units no matter what. We're just asking for the containers. And I don't know if they realize that.
I think they do. And that's why I wanted to clarify that, not only for the commission, but for the folks out there, that there already is permission from a year ago given for the storage containers. I mean, for the storage buildings.
Permit.
Right. And so the question today is the more or less what we're asking for is the temporary,
right,
whatever they are.
Now, and so, here's something that's getting ready to happen, and it's going to be a hornet's nest out there, I guarantee you. He goes in there and adheres to the decision record, and he puts that fence right down through here just the way you're looking. He's going to be right in those people's back door. Like she said, they've got 3 or 4 foot or not very much from the back of the house. It won't even meet setbacks. The house won't.
And I'm still lonely, by the way.
And that's, and like this house here, they've got a septic tank sitting out here. They're not even hooked to county sewer. That's a rental house right there. And they've got they're not on county sewer, and they've got their septic field out here on him out here.
Well, and sometimes we run into things like that, but the fact of the matter is that we have our rules and regulations
that's
for
right.
a reason.
And I just want to let you know what's getting ready to happen.
And that is right. That's what we request, is that they build up.
And so when they put this through there, her view then is going to be 4 foot away a fence, because that's what's getting ready to happen. And, I mean, we can't help that.
Right, that is our requirement.
That's a requirement by the code. And it's going to happen all the way down through here. As far as this lady talking about erosion on her place, how can we erode something if we're below it? I mean, the erosion starts above and comes down. We're at the lowest point, so we can't erode her property. There's no way. I mean,
I understand.
But anyhow, that's what's going to happen up through here when they put that in there. Down here, it won't make any difference. That's along his own property anyhow.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, but
okay.
We're going to put the fence there.
Right. We require that because he could sell that tomorrow.
That's correct. And I explained that to him, and he agreed after I explained it to him. And, you know, I'm going to drive out there for the next meeting and see how much fence he has put in there. I don't know. They could probably tell us if he's putting more. I don't know if he has or not. I know he was ordering the material to do it.
It looked like a chain link. Now, of course, then there'll be
the
privacy
gate.
Slats or whatever going in there, because
right.
that's
mm-hmm.
right. I mean, that's
yeah.
Yeah, that's
that would cover the opaque.
Yeah,
okay.
That it would have to be opaque.
I know the front gates are going to be chain link and everything like that. I don't know. He did. He hadn't priced everything to see if it was going to be the wood fence or the chain link around the perimeter.
With the privacy slats.
Right.
I mean, I'm really asking, clarify. Well, I already know.
Yeah.
Just clarifying that for
you.
I
mean, if it's a wood fence, you know, it blocks it. But if it is a chain link, it has to have the slats in it to
right.
secure the view. But that's what he was pricing out, and that's all I could take.
You touched on the detention pond really quickly, but if there is impervious cover in a certain amount in your plans, if I remember right, if I'm thinking the right thing, there is a place for a detention pond?
The detention pond is right. If you go out there on the... Whoopi moved it on me.
Sorry.
There we go.
I was going to pull up.
There, if you go out there on the site, that's where the culvert goes underneath the road right there. And there's a pit right there now. It's got to be made bigger than what it is. But that's where the detention pond is going to be. It'll be right against the road because the site sits down away from the road and the pipe's down pretty low. I think it's probably... I'd guess an 8 or 9 feet maybe below where
it runs fairly deep because the east side of the road there, and it drops into a pretty deep ravine there.
See, this street right here comes right on back like that, and there's houses in here,
mm-hmm.
and that creek goes right down between those houses down through there is where it goes. But the detention basin will be built right there. That's where it'll be built.
Okay.
And I can email over the drawings or bring in copies of the drawing because Mike engineered it.
Okay.
And everything that's been done for. Oh, it was right after it was approved that he actually, because I had to go out there and do some more topo work out there so he could size it up and everything.
Okay.
I have a question when dealing with stormwater. As far as when he gets the permanent buildings in there, I mean, you're going to have roofs that will be impervious surface. I mean, you have the aggregate. I don't know what he's going to pay, but the retention pond will take care of part of that. What about the rest of the property? Water, I mean, is it going to surface run and pipe underground?
The
water coming into the property.
The natural drainage right now, there's a little bit of drainage that comes in right over here. Then the main drainage.
It comes in two different areas there, doesn't it?
You know, this is a public meeting, but I like to have the courtesy.
Right. I'm getting there.
Okay.
Yeah, folks, y'all do need to keep your comments in here. Thank you.
The main drainage is down through here. It's where it's at. And that will all be piped down through the facility to the detention pond. Because our sewer comes right down through here, and basically the drainage is almost down the sewer, right in there. It was just a big swale, probably 2 foot deep, but it was like 10 or 15 foot wide that they left there when they built the sewer line. And just a kind of, it was all shot and everything. They just went there and kind of wallered it out, put the sewer line in there, and left it for drainage. That's what they did.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I knew water came into that area from a couple different directions. I didn't know what their plan
was.
What
I observed after rain when I was there, there was a appearance of erosion right in here where the water was shooting in toward the sewer line, and there was erosion down through here where they put the sewer line with water coming through there.
Okay. Any more questions in regards to water detention?
Didn't we discuss water on this side down here where they were going to bring that road down there? If I remember correctly, when that came before, there's a bluff on that side down alongside there. Isn't there a pretty steep bluff?
Which, are you talking on this side here, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, they went in there and they busted some of this rock, and they come off them lots there, and then it dropped off where they...
It was discussed on how we were going to handle the water on that side at the time.
It'll all go to here. All the water will go to that detention pond.
Okay.
In fact, if you went out there and looked at it, it's a pond. It's a pond. Everything drains to that point because this is intended to be a place for the community to use.
Yeah.
Harold Epps put it in there as common property. Well, Harold, the association never was set up, never did take possession, never did pay taxes on it, so we went to tax sale. And that's where he bought it. And that's what happens. You know, the assessor, if nobody's paying taxes on it, he's going to sell it. And at the tax sale, that's what they did. And that's why we've got this situation.
That's why I've learned over the years on the Planning Commission to avoid the term common ground or community property.
Yeah. Well,
if somebody pays taxes on it, sooner or later they want to do something.
You know what? If there's common ground in here and there's 100 lots, everybody would pay a 1/100th of that on their, if there's an association set up. And the association was never set up. There was restrictions put on the residential lots, but not on the lake. And that's why it was sold at tax sale.
Okay. I know you mentioned it before, but just to clarify, the color of the pods are going to be...
If you tell me you want them white, we'll paint them white. If you want them gray, we'll
they're all going to be the same color.
Yeah.
There might be a number on it to identify the numbers. I know you said that earlier, but I just wanted to clarify that again.
And you just can pick the color. He doesn't care. We can paint or.
Like the idea of something temporary. In other words, if you're going to build something there and you're going to have something look good, it needs a foundation. It don't need places where the rats and the cats and the skunks and everything. And if you even, for me personally, before I'd even consider pods, they're going to have to be on a permanent foundation and set up like a.
And it sounds like to me that's not the request.
No, the request.
Okay. Which you could talk about that.
Yeah.
A permanent foundation is for some that will stay there permanently. A pod is to move. It's mobile. And that's the only definition of pod there is a mobile pod. And, you know, that's what he's wanting to do. I can't change that.
Yeah.
And they're not going to put them on permanent foundations because you don't bolt them down. Like we say, if he comes in here and starts building this out, these will leave. That's what we're not wanting a permanent approval.
You don't know if them's going to be there 1 year or 10 years.
I couldn't tell you, Steve. I really couldn't. The economy will dictate on what happens.
He violated the permit the first time.
Yes, he did.
I'd like to know what we can do to have them removed.
I think that you would have to get with Bob on that and discuss what our next move is in the meantime. But in the meantime, the request is before us is to add basically out shipping containers to the original request. Mm-hmm. That's really 73 shipping containers.
If they're all painted the same color and everything and rode up decently and the grass was mowed around them and stuff, they're not going to look a whole lot different than storage units out there.
But that specifically breaks the agreement that he made to begin with.
That's correct.
I agree.
Was given.
Yeah, today we're it not, definitely
not,
does.
We're not denying that one bit.
Yeah.
But he, after Bob served the stop work order, that's why we're back here. And he didn't do right the first time, but he's trying to come back.
Which is to get what right. We've got to deal with next week, whether we decide that's a good idea to add that or not.
So, and time after time, you see that happen in here. Somebody does
right.
Something.
No, I mean, it's something. I don't like it when it ever happens, and I don't think any of us do.
The fact of the matter
is, the fact of the matter is, it's something we have to deal with.
I get up here and tell you what he tells me he's going to do,
right.
And then he doesn't do it. I can't help that.
I don't think any of us up here like that at all. But that's the reason why we do that. But the fact of the matter is, he's back asking for that now, and it's up to us whether we decide that's a good idea to add it or not.
Right.
Any other questions? Okay.
Good.
Thank you. That closes this one out. We do have another one to hear, as you heard earlier. It gets a little loud out there, so if you all do want to visit, go on around the corner if you don't mind. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Hollow.
Okay. This is case number 2012-10. The project is the Happy Hollow Community Dock Association Boat Dock Parking Lot. The applicant is basically the Happy Hollow Community Dock Association, LLC. The subject property is located in the 300 block of Happy Hollow Road, Hollister, Missouri, Oliford Township, Section 3, Township 21, Range 22. The applicant, the Happy Hollow Community Dock Association, is requesting the approval of a Division 3 permit in order to allow for the development of a 50 by 100 lot, which would serve essentially as a four-space public parking lot to serve an existing boat dock that is being expanded. The background and site history, an addition has been proposed to the present boat dock at this site, taking it from a two-stall dock to a six-stall dock. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is requiring additional public parking for at least two vehicles, and the applicant's proposing to create a clearing on Lot 31 of the Williams Point subdivision in order to allow for parking of up to four vehicles while using the dock. And this is the subject property. It contains approximately 1,300 square feet. Let's see. And like I said, this site would basically consist of a four-lot public boat dock parking lot. This project received a total score of 0 on the policy checklist out of a maximum score of 5. With no relative policies receiving a negative score.
Nobody ever.
If the Tatey County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Compliance with the provisions of the Tatey County Development Guidance Code. A compliance letter from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers shall be submitted to the Planning Department. And this decision of record shall be filed with the Tatey County Recorder of Deeds Office. Within 120 days, or the approval shall expire.
Whoa.
And got just a brief video of this one.
Where's Happy Hollow at, Bob?
To get to it, you pretty well, I was trying to think what,
you can't get there from here.
You pretty well have to go through Stone County to get back to it.
Okay. Long Creek, going to Stone County, come back into Tampa.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, cross the bridge. And
we just did a quick 360.
Turn back to the north.
Yeah. Off
I probably caught fish under that dock.
I
think I did.
I probably have.
I zoomed around pretty fast, but... But that's basically it on that one.
That's down, okay. That's all.
Well, Jim, I guess you're the representative. Is that right?
I am.
Okay. They should pay you overtime tonight.
Yes.
I don't know why he put you last on the list. That was mean.
Well, I think you did a very nice job moving things.
Well, we try to get them done so we can get out of here. Okay.
Well, basically, it is as it states. That little dock is the one that will be added to, and as you can see there on the left is where the lot is. I think I'd said in the last meeting that I doubt that the lot will even be used for parking. It's a requirement from the Corps, so therefore it has to be.
What do they require? Do they require them to grade it so it can be parked on, or what is their requirement?
It has to be leveled enough to get on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that down UU8?
Yeah.
Yeah. All the way down around the curve.
Yeah, you go on down to the
That ain't anywhere near Galen. You know Galen?
Yeah, well, yeah.
That ain't any place near him, is it?
Yeah, straight across from him.
Is it?
No, he owns the lot.
He owns.
Yeah, he owns right on the up. Yeah, on the up.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Judy's that house is for sale.
Where specifically are the brush piles under that dock? I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to find out, Ray. I'm just getting a little information.
Hey, if you're going,
I was trying.
You're going the right direction.
Yeah.
Hey, you're on county time.
Sorry. I just asked him.
Can you zoom back into that?
Uh-huh. Zoom back there. What do you got, Randy?
Is there an existing entrance off that? Is that lot now?
No. You can see. I put that entrance in up here on the other lot. I think you can see it back there. And then this is a deep ditch right here, so there'll have to be a culvert right there.
So what do they have to do to make that work?
Well, they'll have to get a permit through us, so that's going to be one of the requirements.
Yeah.
Can you turn on your contours? I just want to make sure that's not in a
I hate to admit it, I didn't
draw
ever...
a ravine where you have a cross pipe.
I don't know if I can access that from here or not. I haven't tried it, to be honest with you. I can try. Let's see.
Did you go out there?
No, I was going to try to pinpoint it. I can go look at it on site.
Yeah, I don't know that.
My question. Go back to the map. Don't waste a lot of time.
Yeah, I can show you where the runoff goes.
So they do want.
You can tell me.
The runoff is right through here.
There isn't a cross pipe or anything running across here, is there?
No.
Okay.
No, there is, I think.
There's one close to this area, so it would be down right in here.
Yeah, I put this together before we got the new aerial photography.
Yes.
Look like a big white rock. I sure don't really find it.
So they'll have to clear this off and make it available for parking for the dock owners.
Clear enough, not all of it.
For two vehicles.
Enough for two vehicles.
Right. Exactly. So not
okay. But it has to be level enough for them to be able to park there if they choose to do so.
Not necessarily level, but at least they can get in there and use it.
Taney County level.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Two cars are better.
Special use permit? I don't think so.
They handled the last one as a regular Division 3.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be with that many on it, would it?
Yeah, because if the lot sold, it would revert back. So I don't know how they could do it as a special use permit.
Yeah.
That would be a permanent, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd lose your core permit.
Is there a reason why you're asking that question, or just clarifying it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all it is.
Any other questions for Mr. Haney? Okay. Thank you.
All right.
I apologize for not showing up last time. My old age.
Well, we're glad you made it today.
I just forgot.
I can see why we made you wait an hour and 45 minutes. See, I guess it was your punishment.
It seems fair. We don't have anybody in the audience stand up. But...
I know. We maybe complain a little bit. Okay. Thank you. Right. Old and new business.
I guess about the only thing I've really got is the county commission adopted the single amendment to the road standards today.
Okay. So that makes everything equal on both sides. That we're good?
Sure.
Okay. As far as we know, right?
As far as we know.
Okay. Anything else?
I don't have much of anything else right now that I can think of.
Anybody have anything else besides you?
Well, I've got a question maybe Bonita can answer. We had years ago, over in Poverty Point, we had two requests to rezone a couple of lots over there at different times. And all they wanted to use it for was a parking lot for boat docks, community park. And we turned it down, and I don't remember why.
That was before me.
He's going to put in a new boat dock there. That's a little sleeve, I can't think of his name right now, but yeah.
Well, one of them was.
I've had run into him before. But it was specifically for putting a new boat dock in, and then he was going to rent slips in that area.
So, like a commercial service? Shortage.
One of them was a guy from St. Louis. Was wanting to put in
money behind the deal.
He had a lot there, and he wanted to turn that into a parking lot just for six or eight boat stalls.
But they were going to put in an entirely new boat dock, a new 20-stall boat dock on that job, if I remember right.
I think you're right.
If I'm not mistaken, this is more of a requirement by the Corps for to maintain your community boat lock if boat dock if it's over a certain amount of slips. Is that right?
Well, exactly.
I mean, you'd know as good as anybody. So if they do that, they have to have parking.
It's about the same thing as this other one.
But that's been a while back.
I remember why we turned it down. Okay.
Anybody have anything else? I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Do you?
See, that's what I'd ask you.
Would I have to get a permit to make the road wider there in front of Randy Hayes' house so I can watch deer?
I think, we probably
complain. I got your real blacktop. The dust is settled. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
So many.